Let's open our Bibles. If you're visiting with us, we start our lessons with John 3:16. And I want us to read from verses read verses 14 through 18. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. You get there, say amen. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. Now, we're going to pick up today. I'm just going to highlight, going to be sharing today about authority, power, and authority over demons and sickness or disease. Power and authority over demons and sickness or disease. And you just stay tuned in here. One of the things that we were sharing, how many were here Wednesday? Everybody, a few of you were here Wednesday. I would encourage you to get the message that was shared on Wednesday on long life, living a long life. And we went through some things that people have said about having a long life, and so many have said, boy, if you get 70, or by reason of strength, you hit 80 years, boy, we did it. So wrong. And we went to Genesis 6, where God decreed that we were to have 120 years. He never changed that. He never, you know how you get software? There was an update or an upgrade. No, it was said once, and it was never changed. So God has decreed that we can live 120 years. Now let me ask a question. If we don't, does that change God's will? No. He said, hey, you can. Take it. You can live 120. But what has happened is, and you can see through history, that the lifespan of man got very low at one point, even in the United States, 35, 40 years of age, and it's increasing. And I began to cover in here just from the census that have been taken, how many centenarians we have living in the world and how many centenarians we have living in the United States. Those that have reached 100. And it has exponentially increased from 1950 to 2010. Just a stat that I didn't read. This was 50 years ago. It says roughly one person in every 6,000. I'm sorry, one in today, roughly one in 6,000 reaches their 100th birthday. 50 years ago, it was one in 67,000. So you can see there's been a sharp increase just because of the natural change of things. And there's been an increase in the span of life. But that doesn't change. I'm talking about just from that's a natural thing. So you can see here when people say, well, if you know, what's our term here on the earth? 70 and 10. Wrong. So you need to get that message and look. I'm not going to go back over that now. Get that message and see. We highlighted from Ecclesiastes that there's a season to leave. And a season is not a time. So people say, well, when it's your time to go, no, there's a season to go. And God has ordained once for man to die, not a time. So you need to look at that, feed on that, and get your mind renewed. Because we've been so programmed by the world and the world system that we talk about with our own mouths, we talk about, well, you know, I don't move as well as I used to. You know, I'm 70 now, so I don't move as fast as I used to. Why? Why? See, you talking death. And don't get mad at me. Get our minds renewed. Because when we talk, you'll possess what you confess. You'll possess what you confess. You've got, and we spent a lesson looking at the vine, staying hooked into the vine, and being quickened by the very life of God. And as that word gets in our hearts, it quickens us. Now, yes, we are mortal. But thank God Jesus came and defeated the devil. And by his spirit, we can be quickened by his spirit where? In my inner man, and it'll affect the outer man. Yeah, if Jesus tarries, we're all going to leave here. We're going to leave this earth, and we will leave this body. But I don't have to leave sick. I don't have to leave diseased. I don't have to leave rusted out. You know, as some folks say, no. When it's his time, you can say, okay, come on. Boom. Gone. Just lay down and leave. And we can. And we should. Well, let's turn over. We'll start our lesson today. Let's turn over to John chapter 10. We're going to be speaking about authority today. Dominion and authority, or power and authority over all demons and all sickness. Because whether you know it or not, you've been given it. Some of us may not walk in it and all that we should, but we have been given it. John chapter 10 and verse 1. I'm going to read down verses 1 and 2. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in, how? By the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. And then, of course, in verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And, of course, jump down to verse 9. It says, I am the door, or verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out, go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we can see here, one comment I'm going to make is Jesus entered in. The door is the entry into this earth by birth. You entered the door by birth into this earth. That gave you authority here in this earth. But this says here, the thief, those that didn't enter in through the door, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. But up in verse 1, it says, but he that climbeth in some other way is the thief or a robber. He didn't enter in by birth. He was cast into the earth. He wasn't born into the earth. Jesus came into this earth how? Legally through how? Birth. He came in through birth. So yes, he was the Son of Man, but it also said in Philippians, he divested his very divine nature and became what? Like a man. So when he operated in authority here in the earth, when he commanded sickness and demons to go, he didn't do anything prior to being what? Anointed by the Holy Ghost. His first miracle was what? He changed water into wine. So prior to that, he wasn't anointed by the Holy Ghost. And the exciting part to me is that after he went to the cross and he went to hell, and he defeated the devil and stripped him, he was raised from the dead. And what does Ephesians 2:6 says? It says, when he was raised, we all were raised with him, seated in heavenly places in Christ. And so we've been given authority and dominion in Christ, in his name. We've been given dominion. So he entered, how? By birth. He was born of a virgin. The blood of God did flow through his veins. He was the Son of Man, yet he was, and he was God manifested in the flesh. But Philippians said he made himself of no reputation, Philippians 2:7, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of who? Men. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But we know, Acts 10:38, how who? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What? For God was with him. So if he's the only one that could have done it because he was God, where does that leave us? See, we're not, if he was operating as God, if he was operating as a divine person, then no, we wouldn't be in the same class. We wouldn't. Now, he is in a place or a class all of his own by coming to this earth as the last man, Adam, coming and to take on the sins of the world. Yes, he is in a class all by himself. But as a man who went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, we are in the same class as he is. We have the same spirit, the same anointing that rests upon us. The same anointing. You sure? You're not sure about that? Huh? Some of you are. Some of you are looking like you're not sure. Let's look at 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, this is the purpose, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did he do it? Yes. Absolutely he did. I like some of the other translations. This is the I like this. This kind of says it in a different way. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, now the Son of God came to earth with the express purpose of liquidating the devil's activities. I like that. He was liquidated. Yeah, he was defeated and stripped. He was abolished. His ways were abolished. But again, he did not operate in divine power. He operated in the power given to him through, how? The Holy Ghost. How God anointed him with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And of course, let's go back to John again. John 10:10. Let's look at that again. How it says, I am come, the thief cometh not, but for to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now, back up a little more. I wanted to take a look at some scripture in the Gospels. Go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And hold your finger there and go to Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at both of those scriptures. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Now, Matthew 10, it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Power against what? Unclean spirits to do what? Cast them out and to do what? Heal how many? All what? Not just all sickness, but all manner of sickness. You know, and what else? And all manner of what? Disease. So if you can name some disease, this includes all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He did what? He gave his 12 disciples power to do that. And if you look up that word exousia, I like that. It means the power of authority, influence, and the right of privilege. So they were given the authority and the right to exercise that authority and that dominion. So, and then another translation that says the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. The commands given, or the right and the authority given to his disciples when they spoke in Jesus' name, when they spoke, it must be submitted to by the devil. Must. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Must. Must be submitted to. And I remember when Reverend Mary Frances Varela was here, she said, you'll know it's the devil or the flesh. If you speak in the name of Jesus and they don't respond, call the police, because it's flesh. it's flesh, and it's being disruptive. But if it's a demon-motivated thing, it will and must respond. Now, Luke, you can kind of get, when you go to Luke 9, see, now here in Matthew 10, it says he gave them power against unclean spirits, and then he speaks about all manner of sickness and all manner of disease that he gave them power over, the 12 disciples. But when you look at Luke 9, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. So when you look at both, you can see here that Jesus gave his 12 disciples power and authority over all demons and all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. All. Say all. All manner of sickness, all manner of disease, and all demons and devils. He gave them that authority. Now, I want you to take a look at, let me just make this comment here. We as the church, let's do that first. Let's go over, so we can kind of hook the thought up here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at this here and 2. Let's look at this first. Ephesians chapter 1. And of course, the prayer that Paul prayed at the church of Ephesus in chapter 1. He prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I think for me, this is becoming clearer and clearer, because when you read that, it says a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, colon, that means or implies there's something to follow, which says that those things that follow are because of the wisdom and revelation that came. What does it say? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And I'll put in here, and know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and you'll know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now let's see here. What was he given authority over? You can see it right here. Far above, how many? All principality, and you could say all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things. To who? The church. That be you. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, like the 12 disciples, when he was raised from the dead, this scripture here says that he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus physically is not here. The work that needs to be accomplished through the body. And just like the 12, we've been given power and authority over all demons, all sickness, all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease. And we are to go into the earth and to do what? preach the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that don't, won't. And what does it say? They that believe shall do what? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. And it also says, I believe, that it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The first thing is what? In my name they shall do what? Cast out devils. So even in the Great Commission, he's given us power and authority over all demons. And he's told us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That means over all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And I think for me, we've, just like other things in life, sometimes we tolerate things in our body just a little bit too long, things that have already been paid for. You need to rise up and say, no, leave my body in Jesus' name. Now you may say, well, I did that and nothing changed. Let me read something. Let me get over here. Give me a second. Well, this is two things. I'm going to just read some, I'm not going to try to read it verbatim. I'm going to give you a highlight. But this is in a book that Brother Hagin wrote called I Believe in Visions. And you can get the book. I just downloaded it and looked at the areas that I needed to look at. But these are testimonies that he gave. He talked about in 1952 how the Lord appeared to him in Texas, Rockwall, Texas, how the Lord appeared to him and began to share with him some things, anointed him so that there was a special anointing upon him, and he began to explain how that would operate in him. That if he put his hand on the front side of a person and the back side, if he put his other hand, if he felt fire move from one hand to the other, he knew that was a demon possessed, or there was demon possession involved. And if he would put his hand here and here, he would feel fire jump from one hand to the other. And so God was in this vision, he was speaking to him. And there were other things he was saying, but during that time or that visitation, that open vision, he said this imp-like creature jumped in between him and Jesus. And he kind of put up this smoke screen and was going yakety yak, 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 and making noise. And he said, I could hear Jesus' voice, but I couldn't understand him because he had put up and was disrupting our conversation. And he said, I'm wondering, why isn't Jesus stopping this? Why isn't he stopping this? And it continued, and it continued. And he said, finally, he said, I said in the name of Jesus, stop. And he said, this creature fell to the floor, whimpered like a whipped pup, and all of that smoke screen and that stuff ceased. Just like that. So he asked, he said, Lord, he said, you know, he wondered, why didn't Jesus stop it? And he said, now in this vision, Jesus knew what he was thinking. Just like in the Gospels, he knew what he was thinking. And he said to Kenneth Hagin, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. If you didn't stop it, I couldn't have. And Brother Hagin said, Lord, I know I misunderstood you. You said you couldn't do anything about it, but you really meant that you wouldn't. And he said, no, I couldn't have if you hadn't have stopped it. Because you have been given dominion and authority here in this earth. I can't stop it. You've been given dominion and authority. And so his point was that some things in our lives are there, not saying that we opened the door, but it's an attack. It's something that's come against you. You need to get up and say, no, cease, go, depart in Jesus' name. Because if we don't, it won't. And that means whatever it is, it could be an individual, it could be sickness, it could be something that you can see that it's being divisive, it's being something that has come against this physical body. You have been given, the church has been given dominion and authority over a defeated foe. He's been stripped, and the only power he has is that which you give him. And he can operate. One of the things that he thrives in, you know how we talk about when we worship God, when we worship, he thrives when we honor him and we worship and praise him. He comes in and manifests himself. Well, the devil thrives in a climate of fear and strife and worry. He thrives in that environment. And when we worry and we fear, he thrives in that. And we need to stop and say, no, I will not fear. See, that's what happened to who? Think about what happened. Just thought came to me. What happened to Peter? Jesus said, come. Come. And he responded to that faith word, got out, and began to do what? Fear. And he sunk. He was walking on the water. And fear caused his faith to flop. Now Jesus reached out and caught him. But you can see here, we are to resist the devil. Now the interesting thing was, in this interchange that was going on, Kenneth Hagin said, he went through about three or four times, now I know, Lord, you said you couldn't, but you really meant you wouldn't. And then he said, no, I meant I wouldn't. I couldn't. Not that I wouldn't, I couldn't. And he said to him again, and he said, and then Brother Hagin said, well, no, Lord, you're going to have to show me. I hear you saying that, but you're going to have to show me in the Word where that says that. And he said, Jesus smiled at him. He didn't get angry at him. He smiled and said, okay, turn here, here, and here. So let's go. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You're right there in Ephesians. Look at chapter 4. These were things given by the Lord Jesus that we're to do. We have dominion. We have authority in his name because we're in Christ. What is Ephesians 4:27? It says, neither give place to the devil. That means shoo. That means get out of here. Leave. Neither give place to the devil. And the Amplified, I like this, it says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Don't give him place. Don't give him any place. And it says, give no opportunity to him. So we who have been born into this earth and have a right to be here, we are to resist the devil, and we do it in what? In Jesus' name. Now go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and you know this, let's look at verse 7. Let's read it. What does it say? Okay, let's all say it together. What does it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say, submit yourself, therefore, to God, and he'll take care of it. And he'll cause the devil to leave. No, it doesn't say that. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. The implied there is, you resist the devil. You resist the devil, and he might flee from you. It says, he will. He will flee from you. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. Right there, 1 Peter. Flip over to chapter 5. Look at verse 8 and 9. Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because you're who? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What's verse 9 say? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We are to do what? Resist him steadfastly. Now let me read another. This is another excerpt from Brother Hagin. I'm going to try to highlight this. He talks about how he operated in doubt. He said that this was not long after this vision that Jesus appeared to him in 1952. Not long after that, he was in a church meeting and a man came up that had something wrong with his spine. It was a deterioration of the spine. I forget exactly. Let me just see here what it. I guess that part doesn't so much matter. But he said, when he laid hands on him, he said he put his hand on the front and on the back, and he felt fire move between his hands. So he knew, based on what the Lord had told him, there was a demon involved. So he commanded this to leave and to change. And then he said, this is where I missed it. I asked the man, see if you can bend over. He said, that was the badge of doubt. See if you can bend over. And he said, what happened is, of course, the man couldn't. He said his back was as stiff as a board. And he said this went back and forth couple of times. He said, let me lay hands on him again, put his hand on the front and the back. And he said he felt fire move between his hands. He commanded the body to change and the demons to leave his body. And then he asked the man, see if you can bend over. And so this went back and forth, and he said to him, you go back and sit down. So he said he was on the pulpit. And he said, as he was ministering, another woman was coming up to be ministered to. And he said, in that setting, he said he was standing just off to the side of the pulpit. And he said, Jesus was right there, appeared to him again. And he began to share some things with Brother Hagin. And what happened... This is what Jesus said to him. I like this. He said, Jesus was standing beside the pulpit. I could have reached out and touched him. He pointed his finger at me and said, I said, in my name, the demon or demons will leave. Lord, I know. This is what Brother Hagin said. Now, he's appearing to him, right? He already laid hands on him and anointed him. See, so if he went through this, there's hope for all of us. See, we didn't have Jesus appear to us on multiple occasions, right? He said, Lord, I know you said that. It's only been a month since you appeared to me in Rockwall, Texas, and told me to command the demon or demons to come out in your name. I told the demon to come out of that man, but he didn't. That's what Brother Hagin said. Now, Jesus is appearing to you. He said, I said the demon or demons will come out. I know you said that, Lord. I prayed, but they didn't. He said again, Jesus pointed his finger at me and said, I said, in my name, call out the demon and demons, and they will leave the body. This is what Brother Hagin said. Second time. I know you said that, Lord, and I commanded the spirit to leave this man's body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't go. So Jesus, the third time, put his finger in my face and said, for the third time, I said, in my name, the demons will go. Call them out in my name, and they will leave the body in my name. Weakly, I replied again, Lord, I know you said that. It happened just a month ago, and it is as fresh in my mind as if you said it last night. I know what you told me, and I did that. I did tell that demon to leave this man's body, but he didn't go. Ooh. He said, this is what he said. I think I know how Jesus looked when he drove the money changers out of the temple, as recorded in Mark chapter 11. Suddenly, it seemed as if his eyes shot fire. I could see flashes of lightning in them. The fourth time, he jabbed his finger at me and said emphatically, yes, but I said the demons will go. And then he disappeared. And Brother Hagin said, I realized then that I had acted in unbelief. We sometimes think that if we have special gift or anointing to minister, it always will work. But that is not the case. No matter how much authority we have, no matter how much authority we have, no matter how many special gifts we might have, or how much power we might possess, they all work by faith, and faith only. So God had anointed him. He had anointed him with a special gift, but he was operating in doubt. He hadn't operated in faith. What have we said so many times through this lesson? How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God, which is what? The will of God. So when God had appeared to him, when Jesus appeared to him and said, I'm going to anoint you with a special anointing, and laid his hands upon the tips of his fingers, he authorized him. He anointed him. That was his will. So to operate and say with this man, I spoke to the demons, but they didn't go. He was operating in doubt. So we need to make sure when we speak to something in the name of Jesus, in faith, believing, what does it say in Mark 16? And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe in my name. They shall do what? Cast out devils. Not just some, all devils, not just the little weak ones, but the big ones, all demons, and all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease. And we need to, and it's been stirring in me, we need to be more assertive. When confronted with sickness and disease, we are here as God's body, as his representatives. We've been authorized and commanded to go lay hands on the sick. In his name, we're not to, it says, well, Lord, I wonder if. No, he said, go and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yes. You go cast demons out and they will leave. And I include myself in that because we need to be more assertive and more aggressive in laying hands on the sick and commanding, not praying, Lord, heal this body. Oh, Lord, heal this body. No, 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 no. You've been authorized to speak to it in the name of Jesus and command it to be healed in faith. And God is looking for the church to rise up. We're hearing too much about how the government's going to help us with a health package. We've got the best health package paid and purchased with the blood of Jesus. Put your faith and dependence on that. He's given you His name and authorized you to speak to all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And it'll be healed. And here's the thing. That's how you can live to 120. Walking in dominion. Walking in the authority of Christ in this earth. And we can do it. We can reach it. We can operate in it. But what it's going to take is being transformed in your mind and your heart to say, no, wait a minute. I'm not calling up my prayer partner here. Please help me. I got a big demon at the back door. No. You leave in Jesus' name. You take your hands off my family. You take your hands off my children. You take your hands off my body in the name of Jesus. And we mean to not be mealy-mouthed about it. But in faith. Why? Because you've been given dominion and authority as His body in this earth. And the work has got to be accomplished through us. We've got to be the ones reaching out, making an impact in this earth. Not waiting. There's nothing else to be done. If you've been given all power, I mean, think about that. You've been given all power over all demons. What else can you give someone? If you got all, what else can you give them? You have everything. You've been given all power and dominion over all sickness and all manner of disease. That means if it hadn't even come up yet, you got authority over it. So when they start talking about this new strain and they're developing biological, chemical weapons and all this kind of stuff, we have dominion and authority over all the works of the devil. You've already been given it. I tell you, you know, it reminds me when I was years ago, this is many, many, many years ago, when I first became a Christian, I started working on a counseling phone line for CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. And I used to answer a prayer line. And I remember one evening, because I didn't know, I was a baby Christian, I did not know about how to deal with demon possession and oppression. And this person called the line, and he sounded like he was three sheets to the wind. You know what I mean by that? He called, and he said, I just want to talk to somebody. And he sounded as inebriated as you could be, drunk. And in an instant, just like that, he switched and started to talk like this. Just as clear and articulate. And then it went back and forth a couple times like this. And I began to sense something down here. At least my spirit knew something wasn't right. And I began to ask some questions. And that's why you need to listen down here. I didn't know the scriptures well enough. Down here, right down here, I remember it like yesterday, I heard down here, I asked the man, I said, could you say the name of Jesus? I did. He said, he couldn't say Jesus. He could not say it. I said, okay, got it. Now, I didn't know what to do at that point, but I knew there was a demon involved. And then down here, I said, can you say the blood of Jesus? I did. That's the next thing I heard right down here. And the man said, he couldn't say blood. And then at that point, I knew it was a demon involved. I didn't know what to do. And I called over the person who was overseeing all of the prayer counselors. He grabbed that phone. He said, in Jesus' name, I command you to come out of him. And I said, okay, I got it. I got it. I know what to do. But I didn't know what to do. And see, some of us, if we're new in, as a baby in Christ, we may not know what to do. But just here, just in these few minutes, you've been given dominion and authority here as a person who's in Christ. You've been given, in Mark 16 and in Matthew 28, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that power has been given to the church. And we need to rise up and come against those things that have affected us. Enough. We need to say no in Jesus' name. Just like Jesus said, I said, when you use the name of Jesus, those demons will go. Been conferred upon us. Let's turn over to Luke. Let's end with this. Luke chapter 10. You know this scripture. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. It says, behold, I, who's speaking? Jesus, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Here's two other scripture references you can use. Romans 5, verse 17. This is Paul writing here to the church. He's saying, for if one by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, say much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign, what? In life by who? By one Jesus Christ. So if you've received the gift of righteousness, he said, you shall reign in this earth by who? By one Jesus Christ. So we've been given authority over all demons, all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease here in this earth. And we need to walk in it, and we need to command infirmity to leave. Enough. Now let's say this before we close. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid sickness and disease in my body. Every disease, every germ, every virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Every tissue, every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. And I forbid any malfunction in my body, for greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I command the spirit of infirmity to leave my body. I command the spirit of sickness and disease to leave my body. I command the spirit of infirmity and the spirit of fear and the spirit of death to leave this church, to leave these members, to leave this facility in the name of Jesus. The spirit of death has no right, and the spirit of sickness has no right to exist here. We, the church, who've been bought by the blood of Jesus, we have dominion. We have authority over it, and we need to exercise it. I believe that sickness and infirmity has left here and has left bodies here. And the spirit of death has no place here in your body. In Jesus' name. Well, what if it didn't change? I'm going to be like Jesus. I said, when we spoke to it, it had to change. Well, what if it didn't change? I said, when I spoke, it had to change. The demon had to leave. The sickness had to go. Well, what if I leave here and it hurts? You say what we just said. I said, you have to go. You can't stay here and remind him. Remind your body of what you spoke. Remind your body and your adversary what you said and the authority that you have. See, he only can operate in a climate of fear and doubt. When you begin to doubt, he said, I got him. No. I spoke in faith in God, in his word, that I've been given dominion and authority. And Jesus, the head of the church, said, when you speak in my name, it has to change. Let's turn over to John. Let's close with this scripture. John chapter 14. Come over here. Let's look. Looky here. Looky here. John chapter 14. Come on now. John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 12 and 13 and 14. Let's see what Jesus said. Let's see what the red letters say. John 14. Let's look at chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you might do also. No. It said you shall do. And what? And greater. Say greater. Greater works than these shall he do what? Because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you ask, that word means to demand, in my name, whatever I demand, in the name of Jesus, in faith, what does it say? That will I do. Woo. That will I do, that what? The Father may be glorified in the Son, if, he says it again, if you ask anything, in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Say, I will do it. He will do it. I spoke to my body. I commanded disease and sickness to leave. He said he will do it. Enough said. Because when you question whether he will, you're calling Jesus a liar. You're bringing into question his word. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. We're living beneath, too far beneath our privileges. We need to reach out and take the health, take the provisions, take the prosperity, take the health and the divine health that he's already prayed for or promised, because he said, when we ask, he will do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Just remember, I remember Dr. Sutton made this statement. I don't know if he made it privately. I don't remember now if it was privately or he made it publicly. I don't remember. But he said something to the effect, you can't reach a place of faith so high that you're removed from tests and problems. You're going to be confronted with tests and problems. So no matter how far your faith grows and it develops, it doesn't mean like I've reached this place so now I'm not going to have any problems anymore. Wrong. But your faith in God and your authority in Christ can walk through. What does the scripture say? This is the victory that over what comes the world, even our faith. We're an overcomer in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, for depositing and reminding us of who we are in Christ. Thank you, Father, for appearing to Brother Hagin and reminding him so that he could teach us our authority in Christ. Our authority as a believer over all demons, over all sickness and disease. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, Father, for building that in us that we don't have to live as a slave to the devil. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. He has been stripped. We've been translated out of darkness and bondage and into the kingdom of the Son of your love. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.